find yourself in danger when you're threatened by a stranger. When it looks like you will take a licking. There is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you.
Call out for Super Ficken.
But if you're afraid, you'll have to overlook it.
Besides, you knew the job was fucked up when you took it.
He will drink his super sauce and joke the bad guys for a loss. And he will bring them in alive and kick it. There is one thing you should learn when there is no one else who can do it.
Call out for Super Ficken. Call out for Super Ficken. Greetings, Zogling, Wigger, and Mamzer ass clowns across the fruited and nutted Zog Plain in the open-air coast-to-coast nut house that we call Zog Babylon, the third and the final. And also to the pitiful few remnant of the found sheep of the house of Israel, those to whom these words are directed. Greetings. This is episode number 62.5. And after cobbling the chat together of March 24th, 2011, I decided to give it the name, Be Grateful You Don't Have Mumps Nuts. Now that is a jape at my, both at Hunter Wallace, who has the last segment. He was bitching, whining, pissing and moaning that Harold Covington made fun of him by making his name come up as the Hunter Wallace who's president of Zog Babylon after Chelsea Clinton, I guess, signs the peace accords at Longview. And he's trying to recover America's jewels, i.e. the Northwest homeland. And Hunter come up with that. And the main thing that I thought was unfair was Harold Covington claiming that he had testicles the size of pencil erasers. And I think that was sort of unfair. But Hunter or Cuntair Wallace or Fade the Butcher or whatever, you know, and I know his real name and I'm not going to use it. He is sort of bitching that he was made fun of. And I'd gone ahead and answered on his blog, and Fade did go ahead and allow my blog. So I'll go ahead and give credit for that. Of course, having the loveless, you know, meerkat, Mad Toy, is still whining like a pussy. He doesn't like me talking about how Pierce essentially was just nothing other than an Elohim city for creatards. The Pierce was bought off. He got $400,000 of order money, and essentially the feds knew he had it, and the reason they left him around was a sort of symbiotic relationship that's common in this bowel movement of ours. And what it is that they allow certain false flag operations to exist so that they can find out who the unwilling retards are, who's going to cause trouble. And as a result, William Pierce was actually a Elohim City sort of for creatards. Now, I've had some of the better ones, like Chris Drake. I've interviewed him. And, folks, I've been mainly concerned with Christian identity, and you have a bunch of tards and Jews running wild, like Eli James, a.k.a. Joseph Cut / Joseph Stalin November / Eli James, who's a Sephardic Jew from Chicago, who has gotten in over 20, 30 years. He's actually a fairly polite kike. And then you have a fairly nasty, vicious, evil kike like the Jersey City Jew boy, big-nosed William Finkelstein. And, this is a very, very, very nasty kike indeed. And they brought in Lil Brian Real, a.k.a. Sword Mamzer, and a bunch of other, you know, retards. Now, the reason I'm talking about Mumps Nuts is that this is named after liar Bill DeClueless, who used to live in a little duplex in Florissant, Missouri. I went ahead and did a Google search of his family home, and essentially I guess his mother was rather low class or something like that, but she managed to buy a house, and he claimed he took it over from one of his sisters who married niggers. I had nigger nieces and the rest. Pearl trashed it out, and he kicked him out, and he lives in Mama's house, and he's lived in his Mama's house since 1962 or so, when he got out of the Army for a bad conduct discharge for being a thief or something like that. And essentially, Liar Bill is a total piece of shit. Now, one of the things he was doing when he's sitting was, among other things, "I'll never call you a child molester, Martin, because I've been accused of sexual assault of my nieces." Well, later on he said it was his older brother's niece who accused him of rape or sexual assault twice, and he managed to get out of it. And I think he managed to get out of it because he was just a pig who was, running around spying on Rod Edwards. He pled guilty in 1996, and that's pretty well what I was convinced he does. And that's what he shows up. And he's been running wild, but he told Roxy when he was here is that he couldn't have any children because mumps settled into his testicles and made him sterile, for which everyone really should be grateful that mumps nuts is, well, essentially sterile. A Liar Bill to Clueless. And, here's Hunter Wallace claiming that, essentially, Covington claims that his testicles are the size of, pencil erasers or peanuts. Well, he ought to be grateful that he don't have mumps nuts. Because mumps nuts, or Liar Bill, came and whined and pleaded and begged. He showed up in September of 2009, pleaded for either me or Pastor John Britton to ordain him, and we decided that since he lived in Florissant, Missouri, 300 miles was a lot closer than, 1,600 miles to Idaho. So he came in there, he managed to get an invitation, I printed him up an ordination certificate, I figured out he wasn't too bright, but I thought, well, if he's not too bright, at least he won't cause any heresies or divisions or anything like that. Now, folks, I should have gone ahead and looked him up on Missouri Case Net and found out his criminal record. He got arrested when he was 18 years old for petty burglary, and he pled guilty as a felon to it and spent, according to the Missouri Case Net, worked for 6 months in the St. Louis workhouse, which is somewhat between a jail and a prison. And then in 1996, he got arrested for a weapons charge, pled guilty, got suspended imposition sentence back in the days when you didn't get something like that. Certainly not to a felony. And he spent about 30 days or so, according to court record, in shock time in jail. And he had to give up the weapon. He'll tell a big story about how he is so tough, he nearly killed a nigger or something like that, which is a bunch of horseshit. I mean, Liar Bill is a totally big pussy here. He plays how tough he is, and he's scared shitless to come down and essentially get gelded by me, but he talks about how brave he is and all this sort of stupid shit. And essentially, he weighs probably more than I do, about 250 pounds, but he's about 6 inches or so shorter than I am. He's just big and fat. Big, fat, and stupid. And I'm not scared of mumps nuts one bit. Now, if mumps nuts comes down here, why, I will deal with him. He has no business in Granby. And I don't go chasing after every worthless piece of shit that deserves a skinning. Although Mumps Nuts has annoyed me quite a bit. And recently he got found out over on Beer Barrel, and he got his ass kicked off. And him and Oba Gender Bender Pisser Pifter Possum are whining and pissing and moaning and bitching about it. And talking about how there is no such thing as free speech. No free speech should be allowed. And isn't that just like a Jew? Isn't that just like a Mamzer? Isn't that just like a Wigger? I mean, these people shouldn't be allowed to live. Shouldn't be allowed to live whatsoever. They're worthless pieces of shit. They really shouldn't. When they were first detected, they should have, well, as the first thing here, maybe had their noses notched or, ears notched and I poked out, maybe put a brand on them. Certainly gelded them here. See, Mumps Nuts, he doesn't qualify for being an Israelite under Deuteronomy 23 verse 1. I mean, essentially he's just a little eunuch. He's a eunuch. And he should be made a total eunuch. He really belongs as a bell priest of Sibylle. But, getting on with it, I mean, Huddy Wallace ought to be grateful that even if he does or does not have testicles the size of peanuts, he ought to be grateful that he doesn't have mumps nuts. So, folks, you have these people who show up who are not what they appear to be. They come in, they cause trouble, all manner of trouble, and that's all they do produce. That's all they ever do produce. Now, in this, in the chat, I talked about the lawsuit against Obongo. They changed, they went ahead and kicked the Jew judge off last week, and now I have to answer the Republican lawyer, the Republican Missouri Republican Party lawyer. Essentially, he's saying that because I'm a racist, I have no right to run for, not only to run for public office, but to sue these wonderful Republicans. Well, folks, you have Whiggers essentially looking down on other Whiggers who they think are racist. But folks, it's up to me. Every single Whigger who claims not to be racist should be forced to live with niggers. And along with skinning out lawyers and judges and pigs and the rest of these critters, even these self-righteous, worthless bastards, if you're not going to enslave them, if you're not going to go ahead and exterminate them, what they ought to do is they ought to be forced to run a gauntlet. And if I had any niggers here, you know, in this country left here, they would be niggers with AIDS and bad syphilis or something like that. And I'd just put them in their spawn, a cage full of niggers, and let them learn the benefits of racism. You make them run a gauntlet, and then you kick them out from any being able to live in a white country. They don't deserve to live in a white country. Now, Harold Covington, he has a different idea of what he's able to do, and it makes for very nice, good fiction, but I believe that what we need is a great tribulation. You're not going to have any fixing the system in a local place, no running off. Essentially, things are falling apart all over across the Zogland. That's why we need a great tribulation, and that's why Whiggers need to learn the hard way that their way is death, that they're nothing more than zombies, and they deserve nothing but death. So, folks, we don't have a, you know, just like I always say, we don't have a mamzer like a nigger or gook or beaner problem. We don't even have a Jew problem. What we have is we have a Whigger problem. So I'll go ahead and play the signature song of this particular show, and then we'll come back in a little bit, and I'll put together, I already got together the chats. So we'll go ahead and add this at the very start, and we'll finish up, and the show should be about between 3 and 4 hours long. You know, closer to about 3.5 hours long. That's about how long it lasts, although it's close to 4 sometimes. So folks, we'll go ahead and get this show out, number 62.5, you know, be grateful you don't have mumps nuts. So hail victory.
Yes, I admit, we got a Whigger problem. Whiggers always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, super Whiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit, we got a Whigger problem. Till the drop up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating crop. I wake up and ride away, stupid Whiggers come to mind. The way they run to and fro, stupid Whiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit, we got a Whigger problem. Whiggers always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, stupid Whiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Still to drop us to the top. The way they run to and fro. And they're always eating slop. Wiggers keep remembering how good God used to be. Being caught long stone, our freedom's memory. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Wiggers always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, took the wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Build the drop up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating drop. The way they run to and fro. They're always eating rock.
Greetings, Zogling, Wigger, and Manzer Ass Clowns across the fruited Ned Zog Plain in the open air, coast-to-coast Ned House we call Zog Babylon the third and final. Your time is coming up. But now I'm talking to the found sheep of the House of Israel, and that's who my core audience is, and we end up having 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of us right here in this TeamSpeak chat room. Now, today is March 24th, and it's around 9 o'clock, and this will be the TeamSpeak live chat. So what I have is I have on Sundays and Thursday nights I have live chat on TeamSpeak. And the purpose is to go ahead and answer whatever's going on at the time. And I just got off the phone with Russ Walker, and Russ Walker's sort of tired tonight. Not tonight, dear. I had to paint the fence. And essentially sort of begged off having an interview, which is no big deal. I want to talk to him about a number of things. But let's see. Yeah, well, we were talking in the TeamSpeak room. They're talking about how there was a big change between Elier and Finkelstein. Elier being Eli James, who was born perhaps as Joseph Cutts, who changed his name to Joseph November, and who changed his name to Eli James, the Sephardic Chicago Jew boy, and the Ashkenazi Tubal Kenite Pictish Hibershini, you know, big nose Bill Fink, the Jersey City Jew boy. Now, they had a big fight 2 months ago. They blew up over the sixth day, eighth day creation. And this is of course is episode number 62.5 of the Movement Turd. And I'm not quite sure what to call it just yet. But there's been a number of developments. The main thing that's in the news, as opposed to the Japanese nuclear reactor thingamajig, which the Japs supposedly have it somewhat under control. It's not as dire as what it was. So they're working on cooling the nuclear rods. And from what I gather, they got a bunch of salt water and all sorts of muck on them. So they're going to have to either reprocess them or figure out something else. But folks, I've been looking at a number of things. And we got, you know, the United States got, what, 90,000 or so tons of this high-level nuclear rod waste. Now, what they can do is they can do like France and reprocess it and use it for stuff like, nuclear weapons. And what I've heard is that for the past 10, 15 years, we've been using the nuclear fuel rods that we've been using that we refuse to reprocess have been essentially old nuclear, you know, Russian nuclear and our nuclear warheads. So they got plenty of this stuff. Now, naturally, the stuff that really fissions is uranium-235. The 238 is the vast mass of it, and it's not as useful. Now, what is actually very, very useful is plutonium. It's highly fissionable. It's also used in nuclear weapons. And as a result, most people don't want to be using that. See, we're worried about the Iranians, you know, reprocessing their nuclear fuel rods to get plutonium or U-235 in what's called a breeder reactor. And what the breeder reactor is that they put the rod so that when the neutrons and the protons and the rest of the stuff run wild where it's fissioning, it turns the U-238 into either U-235 or plutonium. And then it's called a breeder reactor because it produces, quote, more fuel than what it puts in. Now, that's not actually the truth. There is such a thing as the law of conservation of mass and energy, which says that matter or energy is neither created or destroyed. It, in some cases, is turned from one to the other. And when you take physics or engineering courses, you learn that this is the first law of, well, it's one of the first law. It's the first law, I think, of physics or something like that. It's been a while. The second law, okay, thermodynamics. And by the way, Wigger Problem, if you want to record this, it's fine by me. It's good to have somebody, you know, who has a backup. For a while, about 2 days ago, I thought my MP3 player was toast. I thought he had died on me. So, in any case, they put plans on hold to build a nuclear plant, and they're saying in Pueblo, Colorado. You see, the thing about it is that just like in Japan, you have all these used nuclear fuel rods, and what they're doing is that they are keeping it in pools of water. They're keeping in pools of water, and they're storing it. They're not creating more nuclear fuel. They're not putting it in a place which they think is inert, like Yucca Mountain, Nevada. And folks, the place should have gone to Yucca Mountain, Nevada. Now, I went ahead and looked. Obongo said he was going to come up with a plan within a month or two before this tsunami, all this stuff that was occurring last week or 2 weeks ago occurred. And it's been, nearly 2 weeks now. Friday morning on the Movement Turd, I was looking at the tsunami and going on and on and on. That would have been episode number, 60.5. And I was just looking and looking and looking at what was going on and pretty well talk about looking at this tidal wave live, as recorded from a helicopter. I was looking at it as it raced through. It's been 14 months. Tsunami. Well, is a tsunami better than one tsunami? Not if you have to live through it. in any case, getting on to it, they were talking about re-energizing the nuclear power industry, and they're trying to, in Missouri, build a second reactor at Callaway County. It was 6 miles away from the Nut House of Fulton. We was on the east side of Fulton. Southeast side of Fulton, the Nut House is. And what you would do is you would look out to the east northeast quadrant and see, in many cases, a big old plume of steam from the cooling towers. And really, do you have anything to say, Arian Doctor? Okay. Well, you had your chance, and you are an ass clown. So let's go ahead and look. Well, went ahead and muted dumbass. Arian Orr. It doesn't really matter. I mean, I really like people showing up, but if all they have to do is just be a bunch of clowns, I mean, there's really nothing there to be found by it. Yeah, I wish they would also learn to speak on the phone. I was getting feedback from this tard. So, on the island of Dr. Pissarro, Mansers are welcome into the congregation. The thing about it is, I doubt Arian O.R. actually had anything useful to say. I'm looking at it, and it looks like Arian O.R. is from, of all places, Germany. So it's probably a gamer, but it might be a Whigger or something like that. I'm looking at the clown's, the clown's IP address. And he's welcome to go ahead and type. If he has anything intelligent to say, he can go ahead and type it, and he can go ahead and type it in. And if he has something useful to say, well, I'll probably end up unmuting him. Folks, I really don't like banning people. Well, in fact, I'm not able to ban people. People are able to put clowns, if they make a number of complaints about them, into their own little chat room where they can yak to themselves. But, Senior, I'm looking at the chat. Anyway, they were talking about building a second nuclear reactor. Now this, Ameren, or the one who runs the, Callaway nuclear power plant, they also ran a little dam to where at night they would pump the water into this dam, and then during the day, if they needed spare generating capacity, they would have it turn a small generator. And this thing is called Johnson's Creek or something like that. And when I was in the Nut House, soon after I got in the Nut House, they didn't pay very good attention to it, and this lake, quote, this man-made lake at the top of this mountain, carved into the top of this mountain, overflowed and nearly drowned these people who were living at the foot of it. The custodians or managers, they flooded out their trailer house. So they were talking about rebuilding it, but with new provisions for safety. But that was a sort of standby electrical plant run by the same ones who run the Callaway nuclear power plant. And essentially, they did not do a very good job of, they did not at all do a very good job of running their auxiliary electrical plant where during the night they'd pump, when you still had to have electricity, they'd pump the water back up into this reservoir and then leave it there. And then during the day, during peak hours, well, they'd just drain it to the very bottom, and do it that way. So, can she... Okay, looks like I got booted off the channel. Can she males, as long as they're white, get into the Congregation of Israel? The answer is no. Not unless they want to present their manginas for pokerization, with as opposed to obigenders wanting to get poked. Actually, a red hot poker. Obigenderbender. Obigenderbender made a big joke about I'm looking at Arian OR. You a big joke. Okay. In any case, Arian OR. Anyway, I'm looking at this sort of silliness from these characters, and yep, you're a clever critter, or you think you are. Let's see. So no, it says the homosexuals and effeminate are not allowed among you anyway. So, you know, that's pretty well, what it's... Well, what I do here is I, speak into the microphone. We're having a Christian identity service. And, you know, on this particular channel. And, well, a Christian identity service. And you're being, you know, yes, it's a religious service. And, okay, well, what happens? Arian OR says he's sorry and he's gonna leave. Well, if he wants to, he can. If he doesn't, he can listen. I just assume he didn't, well, looks like he left. Well, good. You have a bunch of these people, and he might be somebody who thinks he's a Wodenist or something like that, you know, some Jew age religion. So it looks like he's left, which is good. In any case, well, time for a refreshment pause. The champagne and bottled beer. Well, I bought me some Heineken, and I still haven't opened it up yet. Today was a cool day in Southwest Missouri. It snowed a few places and we avoided it raining. It's supposed to rain again tomorrow. Here in Southwest Missouri, we avoid the rain, but we got some cool temperatures. So I had to take in my bedding plants, my tomatoes, last night. And today was cool, so I didn't even take them outside today. And tomorrow, if it's a sunny day, I'll take them outside and let them get a little bit of sun. And I do like starting bedding plants early and then transplanting them when they get bigger. And, I do that mainly with tomatoes, but I'm starting some cabbages, I'm starting a few other plants, and, I hope to have a very good garden tomorrow, you know, this coming year. So, Well, I mean, I imagine Northwest, it is cool, you know, up in the Northwest as well. You know, probably cooler than it is here. I've been, you know, my mom, up in Midland, South Dakota, it was snowing up there a couple of days ago, Monday or so. It snowed up in there, and from what I gather, they're going to have a fairly good year so far, or at least an average year, as far as snowfall, as far as water is so far this year. And it doesn't really start getting spring until, what, the 1st of May or the last of April? So, in any case... Well, do I make kraut, sauerkraut? No, they used to have, especially in the Ozarks, what they used to do is they used to have these big old 20-gallon jugs. These 20-gallon big old crocks. Straight up, big round crocks about a foot and a half or so across that would hold 20 gallons. And what they would do is that they would make out of white oak boards a sort of round thing on the top and then put a clean rock on top. And they'd chop up the cabbage and then put the brine in there. And let it ferment. And what they would do is that they would do that all through the summer and the spring or whatever. And when they got done, they'd put it in a even bigger, you know, they put it in a barrel. And then over the rest of the year, what they would do is that they would butcher out hogs. They would butcher out hogs, after the first frost. Well, actually about the second week of frost in November, they would usually choose that time to kill pigs. Now, it used to be down here in Missouri, which was before we moved down here in 1965. They made it illegal to allow your hogs to run free range because a lot of them became feral. That means wild hogs. And it don't take much to make them turn, you know, feral. And if they go a generation, you'll even have a white hog, you know, like a white Poland, turn into dark black. Wild boar of sorts. And they made it illegal to, they used to let people just run their hogs in the woods, and they'd eat acorns, and they'd sort of fend for themselves, and then people would just simply, shoot them, or, you know, trap them somehow, and kill them. And I don't know if you folks ever read the actual book, Old Yeller, about Travis, who, had Old Yeller. I forget the author's name, but it was made by a movie by Walt Disney, and earlier in the same year I was born. They said that when I was young, just about 6 weeks old, they took me to a movie, Old Yeller, and I was crying a lot, so my parents didn't really get to see much of the movie. But I remember seeing Old Yeller quite a bit when I was growing up or something like that. But in the book, These Texans would just let their hogs roam sort of semi-feral, and the boy hero, got cut up when this embankment on which he was roping up piglets, and, you know, dragging them up there when they were piglets, then gelding them if necessary, and notching their ears. So you'd have to notch their ears regardless. And what the people in Texas or, you know, Missouri, wherever would do, the hill people would essentially let their hogs run wild. And that's what they used to do here in the Ozarks. They used to have, you know, they used to grow cabbage. They grow potatoes. They grow cabbage. They didn't have stores. They didn't have cash money. And essentially that's what people would do, is that they would simply do a lot of subsistence farming. And that's exactly what the people of Texas, Missouri used to do here in the Ozarks. And, they would go ahead and create cabbage. They didn't really can cabbage. They'd ferment it. They'd pickle it and turn it into sauerkraut. Once it fermented, it'd be sort of sour and also be salty. You would have stoneware pots here in the Ozarks, and they'd be labeled 15 or 20, and they'd be about a foot and a half wide. And essentially people would just go ahead and sort of cut off slices of a cabbage about a half inch or less thick. And they just put it on the bottom and then fill it with full brine and use this white oak, round bunch of boards, to keep it pressed down. Have a rock. They'd clean the rock, of course. And the rock would submerge the cabbage underneath the level of the brine. And what they would do is about every day or so, you'd have some scum which would rise to the top from the displaced vegetable matter as part of the fermentation program. They just skim them off the scum. And after about a week or so, when they had it fully fermented, they'd take it out, and what they would do is they'd go ahead and put it in an oak barrel, a white oak barrel, that they had used for whiskey making and no longer was good or whatever. They'd store it in a barrel. It'd be salted up, it'd be fermented. And what they would do is they would eat the ham, or they'd eat it with the sausage that they made from these pigs that they'd killed. And in November or whenever, during the year. And the hams, while they were rubbed with salt and they were cured, usually in a smokehouse, they'd have a smokehouse, then stored in a spring house. And that's how people did live here in Southwest Missouri and the Hill Country in Texas. And it was just sort of a life that people were used to. So I don't know how I got onto this Frankenwigger, but you talk about life in old times. I mean, from my guy, Frankenwigger is a farmer, and he has a bunch of chickens and a bunch of varmints that he takes care of. And folks, that's the way white people used to live. It's part of Harold Covington. I was listening to an old Radio Free Northwest, and that used to be part of how we used to, how white people used to live, and it's part of our nature. In many cases, there is no need for us to be serving Jews, to be serving as Jew slaves, to be serving as corporate animals who live and feed or something like that. Now, I love the fact that we end up having computers. I love the fact that we have the internet, although we have a bunch of crap on the internet. Most of the internet is just nothing but filth. But I do like the modern, some of the modern conveniences, especially computers. I don't see how, and I really would not want to go back to pen and paper. I had plenty of time to be on pen and paper while I was in the nut house, and generally writing something on a pencil or paper is, well, in many cases, you have to get it right more often than not. You have to actually think the entire article over, whereas when you have a computer, you can just simply write it and then revise and edit it so easy without a bit of trouble. When you're writing with a pen and paper, you end up having to think far more about what you write, and as a result, you don't write as much. So, well, the spreadsheet was a killer app, which helped, it was the first killer app. This VisiCalc, was the very first app for the PC computer. Very first, app. It was a useful app because it would allow people to say what if, what if, what if, what if, and sort of, you know, game how to run their particular, you know, how to run their particular financial interest. So, well, the thing about it is that it's another thing. I mean, I remember when it first came up, they were talking about VisiCalc. They're talking about VisiCalc was the reason that the, you know, VisiCalc and word processing were the very first applications for the IBM computer. Then later you had desktop publishing. Nowadays you don't have hardly any desktop publishing because you could have something like that. And if I had more time, that's one thing I would do is I would go ahead and bring a paper newsletter and put it in PDF form so that people could print them out for themselves and read them as well. Okay? When are we going to get rid of these ugly kikes? Well, after the Great Tribulation, which is, I think the Great Tribulation is, we're headed toward the start of it. Now, I don't know about lasting 7 years. I mean, things are pretty, tribulative right now. But getting on with these nuclear power plants, they said that building a second reactor at Callaway would cost quite a bit, and since it would cost quite a bit and wouldn't be paid for even in 20 years, they're talking about making the rate holders pay in advance. Essentially making them pay in advance for something that they have not yet gotten the good out of them. And folks, I would say one thing which goes to show you something is that you have these six reactors at this, at this place in Japan, and one of them or two of them provided enough radiation to where the workers could not get there to take care of the other two and three and four reactors. Folks, that's sort of messed up here to where you can't go ahead and take care of the reactors because one of them has gotten out of control, has undergone partial meltdown to where you can't go ahead and work on creating it. So folks, I would not build a new, one of the things that I think has been taught is that you really don't want to have more than one nuclear reactor at the same place. Don't want to have it at the same place. So, I'm looking at the chat about Skype Nazis, having your own Skype channel for Nazis, and I don't think that's a bad idea to where you have people who are talking about the same thing and having good fellowship, but you do gotta worry about what happens if you end up having somebody who comes in and essentially is taking advantage. Is taking advantage of the situation to, pretty well do his own agenda. You do have to worry about that. And it's sort of like over, Bill Barrow. Bill Barrow had Liar Bill the Clue coming in, and essentially spotting for Brian Real, a.k.a. Sword Mamser, and the rest. So I'm gonna go ahead and cover that on the next segment. And I don't know how long I've been yakking right now. I've only been yakking about 15, 20 minutes. And one of the things I like doing is, it's easier to go ahead and talk for about an hour or so at a time like I used to do on a talk show. See, the good thing is that I never had to work on putting the segments together, putting a musical interlude in on the segments until what I'm doing is I'm putting these MP3 segments, I'm putting the rest of these things in, and I do see someone is recording the thing, so if I need to, I can get the entire thing from him. It looks like he's never had a problem with being kicked out. But, I'm looking at this here. But, Bill Barrow ended up having trouble with Hostgator, and Hostgator took me down for, quote, racism. And I'll go ahead and talk about that in a little bit. But, pretty well the nuclear reactors and the problems with them, I mean, a lot of this stuff has been a wake-up call as far as nuclear reactors. One thing I think it needs to be shown is that you don't want to have more than one reactor at a time, because if the reactor goes bad, then you need, you need to go ahead and deal with it, and you end up having two or three reactors, and now you can't work on these other two or three reactors because one of them is billowing out clouds of radioactivity that will kill these workers. I think that essentially for the interest of safety, you do not want to have two reactors at the same place. Because what it does is it creates a better likelihood for what's called a catastrophic cascade failure. Now, in airline accidents, it's called a cascade failure because one thing goes wrong, and by itself, it won't cause a total collapse of the system. But what it does is creates a situation which nobody seen it coming. No one's seen it coming, and it creates failure after failure after failure after failure after failure, and then you end up having a catastrophic cascade failure that nobody could see coming, because they may have seen the elements of an individual failure, but they didn't see how it would go ahead and create another tip over, just like a bunch of dominoes leading to a detonator. And folks, that's one of the things I think that has been learned, is that it is unwise to put two or more nuclear reactors real close together to where the radiation from one malfunctioning system can go ahead and affect the rest of them to where it ends up getting so radioactive that nobody can get close to it. Now, radioactivity is inversely proportional to half-life, and same with half-life being inversely proportional to radiation. But some of these compounds, like plutonium, they're quite radioactive, but they also have a fairly long half-life. And they get pretty dangerous. So, what they're doing with most of these spent fuel rods is that they're putting them in, they're separating them by themselves to where they cannot melt down, and they're putting them in what they call dry storage inside these stainless steel caskets, these stainless steel barrels, and putting concrete or whatever around it to where that's supposed to keep them for 100 years or so, until such time as they need it or want to reuse it or whatever. But instead of putting it someplace like Yucca Mountain or something like that, even if they become radioactive, you can store it out. There's nothing around inside a storage facility designed for it, and making sure that it's guarded or something like that in an inert place. What they've done is just like the Japanese. The Japanese were literally storing it on top of the acting fuel rods. And then, guess what? There's no liquid to contain it. What happens then? Answer, it just starts going bad on you. And you had a reactor which was mainly just nothing more than used fuel rods. How to deal with it? Answer, well, they nearly didn't deal with it. They had it go radioactive anyway. So, did the audio die? I have no idea. Okay, well, it looks like somebody went ahead and it went down for a little bit. Okay, well, somebody went ahead and entered the channel, so they got the thing. That's why I use the MP3 player. But where was I? A number of things have happened over in Japan, and it should teach us here in America not to go ahead and make the same mistakes, or to learn from the mistakes that the Japanese made. And one of the mistakes is having more than one nuclear reactor close together. By having a whole bunch of them close together, one of them goes bad, it'll create enough radiation to where the rest of them go bad, and then you have a catastrophic failure that nobody can deal with as long as even one of them are going bad. So, yes, people are beginning to wonder. Second of all, unless there's a subsidy or something like that, nuclear fuel is not really, it's not really financially worth it. Now, folks, I have talked about how we could, if we wanted to, create a place to where we end up burning a lot of coal for our electricity. And then we turn the coal into diesel fuel and gasoline. Essentially, coal only has about half the BTU as crude oil. So you have to use twice as much at least. But folks, we could do it. They say that we're the Saudi Arabia of coal. You have all these coal seams laying underneath the ground. In fact, in America, in our continent, there's far more places, I believe, where there's actual coal than when there isn't actual coal. And folks, we could, places back east where there's plenty of water, we could have. And people are worried about the global warming and all this carbon sequestering. Folks, we could make algae farms. We could make C3 plastic algae farms and sequester that coal and have the algae live off the coal and then turn the algae into, biodiesel. We could do that if we wanted to. And as a result, once we did that, would we have to worry about what's going on in the Middle East? No. Would we have to worry about what's going on with speculation? Now, folks, a bunch of these Jews, like Goldman Sachs and the rest of these speculators, are pulling the same crap they pulled in 2008, of speculating on oil, bringing the price of it up and up and up and up. And that's what Goldman Sachs did in 2008. And then when we bailed them out, one of the deals was, well, guess what? You've got to sell all your speculative assets that you're holding. And as a result, the price of oil went down from, oh, when I got out of the nut house, it was $1.91 and dropping. It got down that spring to $1.43. You know, even in places like Idaho, which is usually far more expensive, it got down to $1.26. You know, that's what Pastor John Britton told me way back in spring of 2009. So a lot of this rise is caused by simple speculation. Folks, if we end up using our own coal reserves to make that, we can make sure the price of diesel did not get above $3 a gallon. We could do that. It would probably go even lower as you bring in coal, bring in the algae growth for biodiesel. We could go ahead and not have a problem with energy. Not have to use nuclear power. What would you do with the fly ash? Well, the answer is that you would, when you got done mining a particular strip of coal, you would load the empty coal cars up with the fly ash and put them into the very same pit from which you dug out the coal. That's what you would do with it. You would put it back into the ground, but you would make sure that it had a very thick liner. And yesterday morning, I was looking on the Hitler Channel about declining infrastructure. Folks, in the 60s, when we were building stuff, we used to spend 12% of our GNP. We would spend 12% of our GNP in building new infrastructure. We were building the interstate highway system. We were pretty well building a number of things. We allowed our railway network to degrade because we had a bunch of niggers running it, and niggers can't run anything. That's why the railway, lines went south. And folks, there's nothing wrong with the railroads using, burning coal. Getting back steam trains like they had in South Africa to where they could essentially move. They could go ahead and essentially move a ton mile on about 2 ounces of coal. A ton a mile on 2 ounces of coal. Wouldn't have to turn it to diesel and then turn it to electric. We could essentially build big steam locomotives like the South Africans used to where they could go 1,000 miles on 1 gallon of water, recycled, recondensed water. Well, I call it the Hitler Channel because Jim Floyd said that the History Channel was all Hitler all the time getting his ass whipped by Jews. So in many cases, I call it the Hitler Channel. I mean, that was pretty apt. I mean, when they first come in, and most of the time, a lot of times it's the speculation channel or UFOs or whatever. It's not really history at all. But yesterday I was looking at decaying infrastructure, and you have pipes that are decaying. And folks, regular people are paying for it. They have this big old tunnel which gives water to New York City that was made in 1930 and finished during World War II, and it didn't have the best materials available, and you end up having this water seeping up from limestone about 100 miles north of New York City. And these people are, pretty well, they're seeing their septic tanks, they're seeing everything just back up to where they can't drink, they can't drink the water. Well, folks, you do gotta, the only reason they haven't shut that tunnel down is that if they didn't have water pressure pushing out, you'd end up having a collapse of this particular 130-mile tunnel. leading water to New York City from the Hudson. Now, folks, you had the same thing with the Tappan Zee Bridge. They were talking about how it was built in World War II out of wooden pilings, which were not treated. And this Tappan Zee Bridge, it's one of the bridges north of the George Washington. George Washington is always being repaired. If you've ever driven across the George Washington, especially a truck, it looks at night that you're driving over what looks like black gum, little black wads of gum. Well, what is asphalt, and they're continually repairing the George Washington Bridge. It used to cost $15 to get into New York City, but, you got to leave New York City for free, which was good. But it crosses and it lets out right at the dividing line between North Harlem and the South Bronx. And folks, it don't really make, when you get off at 178th Street, like I got kicked off of because they were working on second lane of the George Washington early in the morning. I mean, there is not really much difference between a Harlem nigger and a South Bronx nigger. They both were trying to squeegee my windshield. This was in 1990 or so. And I was pretty well pissed off because I made two trips back to back to New York City. Two trips back to back to New York City. And folks, I guess they maintain the George Washington Bridge, but the Tappan Zee, they haven't done such a good job. And the pilings, they're worried that the thing's going to fall in. But in order to fix this big old section of bridge, they're talking about $6 billion to fix it. Well, folks, I don't know. I don't know why it would cost that much, but folks, it just is quite a bit. And we end up having a whole bunch, they're talking about a bridge over Dover, Idaho that needed to be replaced. And they finally were talking about replacing it. But you see crumbling concrete. Concrete that has been spalled so badly by road salt that's literally in chunks. And folks, I mean, you have a lot of this infrastructure that's not being taken care of and is falling apart. So, in any case, what happened to the lawsuit? Is it ready? I'll go ahead and cover that in just a minute. I'm going to go ahead and take a quick break. And folks, we'll go ahead and talk about my lawsuit against Obongo in the next section here. So hold on for a minute and hail victory.
Go for Dickie's Bear Shit to see what I can find. I find a bunch of goodies from 2005. I see all those items from the good old days. It's my fuck, it's in my hands, and his leather's all gay. Wanna be a sword mancer in the SS. Wanna be a sword faggot in the SS. Wanna be a sword mancer in the SS. Sword mancer, sword faggot in the SS. You're the gay piper, Dickie rolled with pride, sucking off niggers in the desert countryside. Every red nigger bastard that wanted to pay, we would suck them off day after day. Wanna be a sword master in the SF? Wanna be a sword faggot in the SF? Wanna be a sword master in the SF? Sword master, sword faggot in the SF! Today I grin when I see his bull whip. My sphincter's battle tested. I know it's really drift. Get that good on butt, a gleam in my eyes. Call me Brian Real, I tell nothing but lies. I'll be a sword mancer in the SF. I'll be a sword faggot in the SF. I'll be a sword mancer in the SF. Sword mancer, sword faggot in the SF. Wanna be a sword mancer in the SF. Wanna be a sword faggot in the SF. Wanna be a sword mancer in the SF. Sword mancer, sword faggot in the SF.
Okay, folks, we're back. And this will be the third segment, start of the third segment. There's been a number of questions about demons. And I answered that, yes, there are demons in Christian identity. There is, of course, Satan, the archdemon, who used to be known as Lucifer, who was the first of the angels. Now Michael's the first of the angels because Satan is no longer an angel. He's a demon. He's the devil, which means adversary. But you have written Book of Jasher that, well, in the book of the Bible, well, in the Bible they say that one third of the angels went with Satan. And they followed Satan. And we know there's at least 200 demons known as Watchers who went with Satan as the governor of not only this planet, but a number of other planets. And some of the demons actually have interfered directly with on this earth. For example, one particular demon, I don't know what his actual name is, if Pastor John Britton was allowed to be on here, he'd probably know what the name of the demon was, but who taught Tubal-Cain how to be an artificer, not only in bronze, but in iron. And later on, they went ahead and they were called Watchers or something like that. No relationship to who's on here now, but they were known as the 200 Watchers. And they were confined by Michael to, Satan is confined by Michael. Well, Satan's confined by Michael, on the orders of Yahweh, to this particular earth. So yes, you read in the book of Job, when Satan was allowed to ascend to Yahweh's throne, and Yahweh says, well, what have you been doing, Satan? How have you been keeping yourself? Oh, I've been walking to and fro about the earth, causing trouble. And then we get to Job. And Job has a hard time because of a bet. So, you have Satan wandering about to and fro, says he's the prince of the power of the air. In Matthew chapter 4, Satan brings Jesus up to a high place on the earth and says, look at all these kingdoms. They're all yours if you only worship me. And Jesus didn't bother lying. He didn't say they're not yours to give, because both him and Satan knew that, yes, the governments of this world, including Uyghur governments, belong to Satan. Especially Zog Babylon. So, getting on is that Satan is the one who rules in this world. And back when I was in the Worldwide Church of God as a kid, they used to call him the Prince of the Power of the Air. Well, I would say he is. The airways, or the airways and the YouTube and the rest, they're dominated by Satan. So he is the prince of the power of the air. He is in control of what is being taught and what is being believed by stupid Uyghurs. And, yes, there are demons running around. Now, I do not believe that ordinarily they are allowed to have direct contact with white men, white Christian men, because otherwise they would be able to force Uyghurs into their will, and even white men into their will. And their answer is they're not allowed to do that. I never worry about demon possession in my case, although there's some people who claim, some Uyghurs and Mamzers who claim that. But in any case, I'm not quite sure what a Charles Mullis is about. Okay? So you read the Satan as demons are confined to the earth. They're not allowed to run wild in the in Yahweh's heaven. The only time they're allowed, like in the book of Job, is when Yahweh calls them to give a report about what he's been doing. And that is what you see in the very opening chapter of the book of Job. Okay, getting on with it. We believe that there are other planets, there are other galaxies, there's an entire universe. The thing about it is that I don't speculate about what is going on outside this planet. I really don't. What's the point to it? My friend John Britton, Pastor John Britton, says that Satan was the governor of a number of planets, and in the case of East African niggers like the Maasai, they claim that they were brought over here from the planet Dogon, which is around Sirius, which is known as the Dog Star, that they were brought over here in spaceships thousands of years ago. And I heard that Wesley Swift believed that, and I have no reason to say that's true or that's false here, because to be honest with you, I don't know. I mean, well, obviously I don't know personally about it, but folks, I don't know about it. I don't know about it at all. So, getting on, I mean, oh, Zealot got banned. Well, Zealot got banned because he's a nigger. Well, I don't mind the nigger listening in, but I don't really want any nigger shit. So if you want to go ahead and let Mr. Zealot come in, or the nigger Zealot come in, he can, but I really don't care. Well, see, the thing about it is that the educated people, I mean, people believe that the vast majority of people or scientific thought around the time of Columbus was that the world was flat upon a big old turtle or something like that, or upon Atlas, or upon, some other god, or upon a big turtle. But the educated people and the seafarers knew that the world was round. They knew that the world was round because they were able to see the actual curvature of the earth in some cases. So, getting on. Yeah, can we let the rabbi's daughter come in? Well, I wasn't going to talk about Elizabeth Taylor. Well, I might have talked a little bit about it. Well, if he's an annoying nigger, man, screw him. I don't really have a problem with people coming in as long as they behave. And by that, I don't mean them asking annoying questions or stupid-ass questions or being obnoxious, as long as they do not disrupt things. I mean, pretty well, they could... I used to allow this guy called Scoutmaster Marty get on, and essentially he'd call me a chomo and do all this other stupid shit. And I put up with his crap. But, I let him have the say. So, I don't know. On the other hand, I'd like to thank INTJ for providing this talk show, channel. And, essentially I let Mr. INTJ run it. I don't believe in telling him how to run was essentially his property. So, where was I? The thing about it is that actually Christopher Columbus knew that the world was round. What he did is he actually thought it was a third smaller than what it actually is. You had a number of people, I'm not sure if it was Euclid, it was, some guy from, Alexandria, who went ahead and said, I think it was Pompey, I think it was Ptolemy Strabo or something like that. Strabo meant he was cross-eyed, who essentially took what he believed, how big the, earth was. He understood that it was round. And me and Pastor John Britton, we have been talking about how the Cherokees, and folks, there's a thing by that will used to be on the Hitler Channel or Hitler History Channel called what the heck is it called? It's called Soul Tree, Ice Age Columbus or something like that. And it's about these people called Soul Trinians that John Nugent believes in, and essentially they seen these arrowheads, which were like arrowheads from Cro-Magnon men, and they believe that these Cro-Magnon men came over here from Europe 17,000 years ago, and that they were murdered. They were murdered by the Casino Indians' ancestors who came across another land bridge 12,000 years ago. And folks, there's a lot of people who do indeed believe that. The Cherokees were part of the five civilized tribes, and they're the most civilized of it. And I've been discussing that, you know, with John Britton, is that, well, you end up having a bunch of people who may have been blown around. And Pastor John Britton makes the point is that some of the copper and some of the bronze found in the old world, they came from these copper ingots, which were dated from, you know, molecularly from the Great Lakes area. So you had a number of some before Columbus. You had a number of expedition. Now, Finkelstein has said that some of the so-called Phoenicians were not exactly Canaanites, but actually they were Danites. They were a number of these tribes like Asher or Gad, who had, you know, who were sailors. And folks, I have no reason to disbelieve it. Now, folks, if I had a market, if I had a way of coming up with pure copper ingots of trade, wouldn't I sort of keep it to myself rather than share that particular, you know, that here? So I believe you had some trade between the old world and the new, but people wanted to keep it secret so that only they would benefit from it. And I believe you did have trade, limited trade, in some cases, between the old world and the new world, between Europe and the eastern portion of America. And I don't see any reason to disagree that 17,000 years ago, the Sultrinians, Cro-Magnon men, did come across here, just like when this Ice Age Columbus, you end up having a story about how these people were sort of hungry in Cro-Magnon Europe, so they followed, you know, walruses and seals, just like Eskimos do, along the ice bank during the last Ice Age, in the heart of the last Ice Age, and they followed the sea to kill seals, to go ahead and kill walruses. And what they did is that they kept on going, and eventually they reached, probably around where the ice wall was, as far south as what is Virginia now. And folks, I see no reason to doubt that. I have no reason to doubt archaeology, which shows that the flint points made in southwest France and Spain are a lot like the ice points made by these Clovis people. I see no reason to doubt that. And the early Americans, the Mormons believe that there was a race war in North America. Now, they believe it was between the Lamanites and the Nephites. But, you know, folks, I mean, in the 1800s, you had a number of these beliefs. And now it's being shown that most of the ancient skeletons found out, ancient bodies found out, be it Kennewick Man or, Wynn's Cave Spirit Woman or whatever, that they were white. They were killed by Casino Indians. And, I call Casino Indians, prairie niggers, whatever you want, redskins, whatever you want to call them. Amerindians, American Mongolians, whatever you want to call them. Okay? So, I'm looking, I'm still looking at the chat here. Okay, folks, what I wanted to cover in this segment is what's actually going on in the movement outside of Christian identity and outside a number of things. And I had some fun with these idiot wiggers who are whining like pussies. They were whining like pussies, and I'll just go ahead and get to it, to where you have over on OccidentalDissent.com, which Covington calls Occidental Dipshit, a few other people call it, Conspiracy Theory, The Vanguard. And I'm going to go ahead and give a link and post the link over onto the TeamSpeak forum, because that's what I'm going to go ahead and cover. Let's see. Where am I at? Alrighty. Yeah, well, old cunt hair had it coming here. I agree with Northwest here. Now, he's a Covington supporter, but I agree. Old cunt hair had it coming. Casino Indians and the rest of it here. Anyway, let's go ahead and look what old cunt hair has to say. Let me see. The Vanguard. See, Hunter, he's saying that Harold Covington is crazy because one of his worthless brothers was talking shit about him over on SPLC way back in, 2008, 2009. Now, folks, my sister and my brother are treasonous wiggers as far as I was concerned. I had him call me up, about what he'd done for me up in South Dakota, and then he was whining about, how I should, how annoyed he was. He wants to move up to South Dakota. He wants me to buy the farm here in Missouri. And essentially I'm saying, well, look, it's our mother's farm. Why don't you just simply, you keep her money and you give me the farm? And he wants to have it all. And anyway, I got another call and I said, look, who are you talking to? He said, my brother said, well, who are you talking to? Some goober? I said, yeah, I'm talking to a goober now. I'm talking to somebody who I view as far more of a brother than you are here, and I'm tired of talking to a goober. So I went ahead and hung up on him. Because he always gets around to where, he starts out nice and then he gets more and more goofy crazy. And folks, there's people think I'm crazy, but no. There's people think Harold Covington's crazy. Now I have my disagreements with Harold Covington, and I'll get to them because I went ahead and wrote a letter on old cut hair's little thing, little blog. But he calls it the Vanguard. Now, cut hair is a, quote, mainstreamer. Or that's what he claims to be. He thinks there's a way of voting out this sort of thing. He looks at a few times to where essentially they're trying to get rid of the beaners and they're passing things like Arizona. And cut hair believes that there's a political solution. Well, folks, my lawsuit shows there's no political solution. If you're not allowed as a white man to even run for office at all, and you're not allowed to vote for white candidates, how is there a political solution? The answer is there is none. Poor cunt here, you have all sorts of, his name isn't really Hunter Wallace. He used to be called Fade the Butcher. I know his real name. I'm not going to use it. Because I am sort of polite to cunt here. He calls himself Hunter Wallace. I call him cunt hair. Spelled C-U-N-T-H-A-I-R. W-A-L-L. I spell A-S-S. Yeah, he spells it Wallace. He was pretending to be George Wallace's grandson. Over on Fort Fang Steve. Now give old cunt hair some credit. Cunt hair is very good at setting up these forums and these blogs and getting a number of other little wiggers who play wigger nationalists to join these particular forums. And he was gone for about 2 weeks. I guess he found him some pussy and he was having fun with it. So I guess the pussy ran off or something happened and someone made fun of him. So he showed back up, You know, he was gone for 2 weeks, and now he's back up. And he posted this on March 21st. He calls us wild men, like Covington and me and a few other people. He calls us the vanguard and says, well, we're bad because we don't want to work in the system. And he's right. And, oh, what happens is that we need to reach out to our little fellow, you know, uneducated, racially Uyghurs and all this sort of thing. So there's a picture of old Harold. And old Harold looks like a big, fat old Jew in this picture. It's a big old freaking swastika. It's from what? Oh, sometime in the 70s. And old Harold is dressed up. He has some white kid there. And he has another white guy sitting there looking sort of like he's going to beat the shit out of everybody. You have old Harold at this freaking podium. And it's called the Vanguard. And now I'm reading this thing. I've been hearing rumors for several days now that Hunter Wallace has been cast as the arch-villain and president of the United States in Harold Covington's Fifth Northwest novel. I didn't think much of the story until the excerpt that people have been talking about was delivered to my email account. It looks genuine to me and fits the storyline that I've seen elsewhere. Well, I haven't seen this latest excerpt here, but it looks like Harold has, you know, a couple moles in his organization, which is fine. I mean, he's got to expect it, you know, unless he's going to go ahead and keep it hidden to himself. Why, of course he's got to expect moles. I knew he had a mole way back last year when old Wigger Swill Williams was able to read what he was writing about it. And going on. I didn't think much of the story until the excerpt that people have been talking about was delivered to my email account. It looks genuine to me and fits a storyline that I've seen elsewhere. I will assume that Covington wrote this until shown otherwise. Those who want to read it themselves can request the small file through your email. In the book, President Hunter Wallace is the leader of the Christian neocon forces, and Lieutenant Robert Campbell is a presidential pimp working for the Northwest Front. My avowed mission is to recover the lost jewels of the Pacific Northwest for the Zionist occupation government. Well, it's actually Zionist, occupied government, but that's how Eric Thompson decided, you know, when he hadn't came up with it. By occupation means that your occupation is Zionist. No, it's Zionist occupied government. But also knows Zog. Also knows Babylon the Third and Final. Going on, I'm also a cognitive dissonance agent who works for someone called Cass Sunstein in Washington. I'm also a, quote, false flag blogger engaged in a black op against Harold Covington. Predictably, I also work for the SPLC and ADL. This will elicit howls of laughter in Montgomery. And I have a Jewish handler who was born in Tel Aviv, too. Well, old cut hair walls who fade the bitcher, being a false flag operative is sort of laughable to me because I sort of know Fade the Butcher. There's some parts I like about old Fade. But, you know, Fade isn't a secret squirrel. He really isn't. He's just a Uyghur who wants to occasionally play at being Christian identity. You know, not Christian identity. At least he doesn't pretend to be Christian identity. That's a good part about him. What he does, he creates these blogs, he creates these forums, and, he has, and it's sort of funny that he claims that Covington is crazy, because from what I gather, he spent his own time, you know, in a nut house. Not like I was sent, you know, as a political prisoner, but as someone who was set up to take his medications because he's a little bit nutty. But I'm going to go ahead and read, you know, this. I'm going to go ahead and read this thing that supposedly, you know, Harold Covington wrote, and I believe, looking at it, Harold Covington did indeed write it here. How much do you know about the President of the United States, Hunter Wallace? About the President of the United States, Hunter Wallace, asked Randall. Just what I read in the paper, said Campbell. The guy's a scumbag white traitor, but that's a given, as if any other kind of person could be elected to office in the United States. The last honest politician the United States ever produced was Andrew Jackson. I think I read somewhere that Hunter Wallace started out in the internet back in the teens as a false flag blogger and a black op under the old Cass Sunstein cognitive dissonance program. He gathered information for the regime and for the regime's NGOs, non-government organizations, like the Anti-Defamation League of Benai Bith and the Southern Poverty Law Center for money. As a reward for his cyber services, he was given a staff job in D.C. on some liberal congressman's congressman from Alabama's payroll, and the rest, as they say, is particularly repulsive history. Go on, said Randall with a smile. See, Randall, I believe, is the head of Force 101, which does away with traitors, he's a person who essentially conducts the spy ring against Zog later on after the revolution has been fought. Campbell, you know, shrugged and complied. Worked his way up to the point where he was actually able to steal the Alabama congressman's seat from him, and from then on, Wallace never looked back. He had just entered his second term when the War of Independence ended at Longview. He saw his bandwagon coming a mile off, and he jumped on it. From then on, he was Mr. Reunification. His rap is an interesting combination of liberalism, neoconservatism, and Christian Zionism all rolled into one. He calls it One Nation Individual, Indivisible. That's basically the social program of the Clinton Democrats, the unfettered economic buccaneering of the Wall Street banks, combined with American exceptionalism of Rush Limbaugh and a heavy dash of 700 Club. I know that doesn't sound possible or even coherent, but Wallace wraps it up in a big red, white, and blue American flag and pulls it off somehow. Everyone gets most of what they want or they think they do. Wallace's one note symphony for some years has been, we must recover America's lost jewels of the Northwest, punish wicked racism, and make everyone love and bugger one another under red, white, and blue, regardless of race, creed, color, or species, all the while singing Kumbaya and praising Jesus. I know it's a lot more complex than that, sir, but it's what I hear. Okay, that's the excerpt. Now, this Robert Campbell is actually a little wacky, who was with old Hatting the Loveless Meerkat, Hatting Scott, supposedly, and Wiggerswell. And he's the one who's actually been the hatchet man for, acting really without old Fade the Butcher's knowledge. But here you have him being a little intelligence officer on the side of the Northwest, when actually he probably would do better. He would probably do better as where old poor old Cunt Hair Wallace is at. But essentially, I think Covington blames Cunt Hair for letting Robert Campbell censor him back last March. Not this March, but the previous March. And essentially bring old Wiggerswill into his Occidental dipshit blog. Okay, but going on, Hunter, he's back here. The story progresses from there into how I'm a sexual pervert with a private slush fund, which I use to date Jews and female celebrities, and how I have nuts which are, quote, the size of pencil erasers. This is all woven into a complex, paranoid conspiracy theory about the near future of the United States. Well, what happens is they'll cut here. I don't think he has wallets the size of pencil erasers or peanuts or anything like that. I mean, Cunt Hair really feels sort of put out. I mean, maybe Harold Covington did special effects. So how would Harold know about what the old Cunt Hair Wallace's personal family jewels are like? I think that's just something, I think that is Harold Covington being mean. But, I don't know. I'm probably gonna go ahead and hear some stuff more, from old Cunt Hair. And Cunt Hair says, what to make of it? Number one, first of all, I don't know what the hell it is about him, but he has to have these sort of like David Letterman-esque little numbers here where he's covering all this stupid shit here, which may or may not be true. But number one, first, my initial reaction, this seems crabby because it fits an established pattern of behavior. And the answer is, yeah, I believe that old Covington wrote that segment. Harold Covington reportedly lost a huge libel suit after accusing Will Williams, one of his many internet antagonists, of being John Doe number 3 from the Oklahoma City bombing. Covington also has a long history of using his imagination to make up libel stories about other movement figures like Ben Klassman. Well, thing about it is that he did lose a lawsuit to Wiggerswill, but if you go ahead and look at the Wiggerswill interview, essentially, this judge went ahead and gave him, gave him a freebie. Gave it to him. And for my guy, they used it to kick Harold Covington out of his North Carolina home. This lawsuit is bogus. This lawsuit's bogus. It's just another one of these little bogus lawsuits that someone like Wiggerswill shows up. He gets some money for a lawyer, either from Pierce or from the SPLC, and he uses it to abuse Harold Covington, his target. I've gone ahead and I was listening to the August 2nd interview by Jim Giles. And essentially, he shouldn't have won any lawsuit at all. Now, folks, I think Harold Covington has sort of hinted that he might be John Doe, Wiggerswill, maybe John Doe number 3. But folks, when Harold Covington goes ahead and says it, he at least makes the point is that it could be true. It could be true. I don't know. The thing about it is I have a tendency to doubt it. The reason I have a tendency to doubt it is that, I mean, everybody who was at Elohim City and Zog knew that Timothy LeVay was coming. Essentially, he was out to do what he's out to do. And both sides didn't care. Both sides, yeah, let it happen. And so they wound up Timmy Tuttle, or Timothy LeVay, and he did whatever he was sent to do. He blew up a portion of the place, and then state charges took the rest of it down. And, folks, it was the Zog false front operation here. It was done by Zog. Some of these Christian Identity people at Elohim City, well, they sort of figured out he's going to do it because, from what I get, Timothy LeVay was not able to keep his mouth shut. And they knew damn well it was coming down. But what are these people at Elohim City like Bob Millar? And Bob Millar was a snitch. Everybody knew he was a snitch. Everybody knew he was a snitch. I got an invitation by Bob Millar to show up here, but hey, Lewis Beam and Catch and Lane told me not to show up there. They said there was no reason to show up there. They're right, there was no reason to show up there. I never did show up to Elohim City, even though I got an invitation there. Why would I go down there where I know there's a bunch of snitches talking to the FBI? Why would I do something stupid like that? And so I never did go down there. No point to it. That's why I try to tell people, don't show up on VNN unless you have something to, look, Kevin Harpham, you wouldn't be in prison right now if you stayed off VNNF, you idiot. But number two, he comes up with, second, it brings to mind what Ben Covington, Harold's little brother, told the SPLC in a 2008 interview for the Intelligence Report. Folks, I don't give a shit what Harold Covington's, little brother told about Harold. Look, I have essentially about the only one of my siblings I have any use for is my brother Monty, who died in a car accident in 1993. I don't have much use for my brother Mike, who I call Pig Oak, or my sister Susan. I mean, essentially, they turned out to be a bunch of thieving, treasonous wiggers. They'll claim they love me, but guess what? They love money more. So, folks, I wouldn't, folks, I wouldn't go ahead and interview them if you want to know what I'm really about. And folks, Harold Covington's little brother has a little grudge against Harold Covington because Harold is a racist. He's an evil racist who caused me to lose my big chance here as a composer, as a as a stage actor in New York City or wherever the hell I went to. And so I don't like older brother Tubby. Tubby is the black sheep of the family. Boo hoo hoo hoo. He's paranoid. He's schizophrenic. He's this. He's that. Folks, I've had a bunch of psychiatrists. Essentially, they rubber stamped me being sent to a nut house. I wouldn't believe what a freaking psychiatrist says. I told them they're a bunch of fucktards. I told them they're a bunch of idiots. They don't know who's sane and who isn't insane. Essentially, they go along with whatever they want to go along. Now, some people are insane. You can just tell they're insane. But like I told some of these idiots, I said, shoot, you idiots only see some of these nuts 15 minutes every 30 days or 60 days or 90 days, whereas I have to live with them, and I have to know which ones are sort of dangerous. And make sure you don't turn your back on them, and you keep an eye on them, and you never know what's going to make them snap anyway. I mean, I live with some violent, nutty criminals. Errol Covington ain't one of them. You know what I mean? But you end up having... Ben says brother was discharged from the military after being diagnosed with paranoid schizophrenia. Harold's mental illness eventually came so severe he abandoned his own family in Ireland. Now, for my guy, Harold Covington went to Ireland in order to get out of being subpoenaed by a grand jury as a result of the Greensboro incident in 1979. Now, as far as abandoning his family, I don't know. I have no idea about that. But there's been a lot of people who abandoned their families here who weren't, you know, insane. And they're whining about how he's estranged from his family in North Carolina. Folks, if you read some of Harold Covington's works here, he has problems with his father. Oh, well. What can I say? Do I know the whole truth of it? No. Don't. But he goes on, he's talking about shit that his worthless family is talking about. Then he comes up with this movie called Conspiracy Theory, you know, from the movie, about this nut who, you know, Mel Gibson was playing with Julia Roberts. Hallucinatory, you know, things. Fourth, paranoia is, schizophrenia is a mental illness caused by genetic factors. Five, when finally seen through this thing, Harold Covington's ideas and actions start making more sense. Bullshit. Going on, the root cause of his antagonism toward this website, Occidental Dipshit, stems from an incident that happened about a year ago while I was traveling North Carolina. He appeared in the OD comments under multiple sock puppets, promoted his novels and podcasts on one of our threads. Robert Campbell deleted the comments and called out Covington on his use of sock puppets. Covington then retaliated by setting up a Yahoo group, which he used to denounce Campbell to his supporters as a Cass Sunstein disinformation agent. Folks, Robert Campbell pretends to be a peer site. He used to be on VNNF under a different name, and I wouldn't doubt these are Cass Sunstein disinformation agent. He has absolutely no love for Harold Covington. None. He's been said over when old cunt here had a forum. They would not allow anything but Covington to be allowed on this forum. So he's a censor. He doesn't much care for Covington at all. Well, Hunter goes ahead, even though I had nothing to deal with this beyond the road time, I was worked into this elaborate conspiracy theory before I even had a chance to read the relevant threads. Looking backwards, I didn't see the significance of the use of sock puppets and dismissed the whole episode as just another trivial misunderstanding of what happens on the internet. Anonymous people use sock puppets all the time on blogs and forums. Most of them aren't suffering from severe mental illness, which causes them to interpret reality through a fantasy-based framework. The lurid fantasies about Ben Klassen's sexuality and my sexuality, someone who Covington has never met, who lives on the other side of this continent, fit the profile of a paranoid schizophrenic suffering from visual and auditory hallucinations. Bullshit. What happens is that Covington holds, and that's what I'm saying, is that Covington holds not Robert Campbell responsible. He don't hold Hatting the Loveless Meerkat Hatting responsible. Who does he hold responsible? Answer, he holds Hunter Wallace responsible. Because Hunter Wallace made old Robert Campbell his administrator on his blog and his forum. He holds them responsible. And that's exactly what it should be. Robert Campbell is just some little critter who's being used and who's meant to be used for these to go ahead and go on. Does that mean that Harold Covington is nuts? I don't think so. The idea that Will Williams was behind the Oklahoma City bombing, or that Robert Campbell is a secret agent worked for Cass Sunstein for exposing his use of sock puppets, minor internet antagonists engaged in mere flame wars, also fit the profile of someone with delusions and a persecution complex. Oh, come on. If you go ahead and go by that, you'd believe that nimbusters have wild delusions of persecution complex. They don't. They're just assholes. Going on, Harold Covington is the old man in his fantasy novels and plays a starring role in the future demise of the United States. This fits the clinical definition of schizophrenic who believes they have a special mission. Well, Harold Covington wanted to be in his book, and so it's his book. He gets to write himself in his book if he wants to. Besides, I never did much care for Hill of the Ravens anyway. Then you have the whole idea that the federal government has nothing better to do with its time than to frame Edgar Steele or that poor alienated neo-Nazi weirdo, Joe Snuffy, from VNNF Forum, who tried to blow up the Spokane Martin Luther King Parade with rat poison bomb in a backpack. Well, folks, I do believe the federal government does have nothing better to do than to frame Edgar Steele. I believe Edgar Steele is being set up. I sure believe that poor alienated neo-Nazi weirdo Joe Snuffy, a.k.a. Kevin Harpham, I believe he was set up too. Now, what would I get from that? Would I believe that because I believe that I'm nuts? No, I believe that Zog is out to fuck you up. I do believe they screwed out old Edgar Steele. And I sort of call Edgar Steele a wigger whimper, but no, they're out to screw him over. And they're out to screw, they went ahead and found out old poor Joe Snuffy, a.k.a. Kevin Harpham, over on VNNF, and they found a tard to place a bomb with and then connect to it. And by the way, Mr. Harpham is not being allowed bail. Essentially, they're not paying attention to his daddy, Cecil, or whatever the hell his daddy's name is, who says that his son was with him and who has an alibi. They're not going to pay a bit of attention. They're just going to keep old Kevin Harpham in jail, just like they did Edgar Steele. I wouldn't be surprised if old Kevin Harpham is in the same Spokane, jail, cell, camera room that old Edgar Steele was in. Wouldn't surprise me one bit. In fact, that's why I suspect this happened. So, do I believe that Harold Covington is suffering from paranoid schizophrenia because he believes that old Edgar Steele got set up and that poor old Kevin Harpham's being set up? Hell no! I believe that they are being set up by Zog. To a paranoid schizophrenic going on, this is all evidence of one huge vast conspiracy will then inevitably be interpreted in that deranged light. Well, it's not deranged to know that old Wigger Whimper got set up, and so is poor old Kevin Harpham. I can't even begin to understand the thought process it took for Harold Covington to portray an obscure blogger from Alabama as a Tel Aviv-based cognitive dissonance agent and future president of the United States engaged in a massive conspiracy to stop a non-existent white nationalist organization. What finally convinced me that Harold Covington is just crazy, even if this expert turns out to be a hoax, which is entirely possible, there's already more than enough evidence available to support that conclusion. Look, does he believe that old Hunter Wallace will become president of the United States? Hell no! Yeah, look, he's just out to fuck with you, cunt hair. That's what he's out to do, and he's doing it. He's doing a very good job of it. Does that make him crazy? Hell no. Now, if things had been fair, he should have made Hatting the Loveless Meerkat Scott, Loveless Pearsight Meerkat Scott, or Robert Campbell / Torres Weewiesberg, the president of the United States with, nuts the size of pencil erasers. But he didn't want to be fair. He decided to blame Cut Hair, for that here. Besides, Hunter Wallace, it sounds like a race trainer, who was from another race trainer, a.k.a. George Wallace, who started out as a liberal politician, lost the election, swore he'd never be out niggered again, and then, initially was a, quote, racist, and then turned out to love niggers by the time before he died here. There are a lot of people talking about how he's a big old treasonous politician from Alabama. He was a fraud. I'll look up a Jim Floyd column by that, I remember one of these days. But folks, he decided to make Hunter Wallace the next president, I guess after Chelsea, the stupid bitch. See his books. He ends up having an evil old bitch Hillary gets, caught in a hotel room in Denver and skinned out or something happens to her in his book here. I approve what he did, as far as his book is concerned, old Swillery, that evil bitch. But I guess old Cunt here is the next president after Chelsea Clinton or something. And, they're out to appease old Chelsea, but, they had to turn the Northeast territory loose. And folks, I sort of like that thing here. Let me go ahead and look and see what's going on in the chat room for a minute. I'm hearing it beep, beep, beep. Okay. All right, let me go ahead. Okay, here it is. Anyway. I'm looking at, what is the Pro Thing Zoo Crew? I don't know. It's probably past their bedtime. White Oak. I don't like rum. Let me see. So I'm looking at this. Yeah, I mean, that's what I heard. I mean, essentially Covington is, I'm looking at this. It looks like Northwest, pretty well left here. I'm looking at, Northwest is a Covington supporter. Well, he did have it coming. Well, Cut Hair did have it coming. Anyway, getting on with it here. What's Bruce Gorman's real name? I think it's Gormanzer. I asked him if he was a Jew and he said no, he wasn't here. That was the last time he talked to me on Skype. Sympathy for Harold. When I first heard about the defamation contained in this Northwest novel, I considered responding with an angry rebuttal, but after spending more time thinking about what compelled Harold Covington to write such false and libelous material, if he is indeed the author, which has been established, I found my reaction starting to mellow. Well, good. You need to go ahead, just like I would tell old Jeremy Visser, you need to smoke less meth and more nigger weed, and you need to drink the pot water when you get done. That will make you mellow. I realize Harold Covington is a tragic victim of mental illness, which has destroyed his career, social life, and his own family. His illness is causing him to do all this here. I began to consider what Jesus Christ would do in such a situation. His advice would certainly be to forgive Harold, sympathize with the victims, and try to end a pointless feud with an adversary. I haven't fully accepted religious premises of Christianity, but I've long appreciated certain practical aspects of that religion as philosophy. In moderation, the Christian idea of forgiving your enemies makes a lot of sense, and with all these cantankerous, quarrelsome white nationalists would spend a lot less time fighting with each other if they borrowed that idea and made it their own. Taking action. I went out and bought a card this evening, which I planned to send to Harold Covington at this Northwest Front P.O. Box with a small cash donation. Well, how much, how small? $1? $5? $10? $20? The card says, Harold, I am genuinely sorry we could not be friends. If I have offended you, I apologize. Please take this small gesture of kindness and use it to buy yourself a hot meal or to support your family in Ireland. Best wishes, Hunter Wallace. I will send it out in the morning. Well, Hunter, what you should have done, wrote, P.S. My testicles are wallet size, not the size of peanuts. But I went ahead and wrote, in defense of Covington, I said, Covington, like most leaders and intellectuals in this bowel movement, is fighting for market share of what little is in our dysfunctional bowel movement. Let me suggest why Harold decided to have his fun at the expense of Hunter Wallace, now his real name, as opposed to the Zog boss Robert Campbell and hatting the loveless meerkat Matoid. Since Hunter is claimed to be George Wallace's grandson, and since Hunter runs a blog forum, whatever, for a little while, until Hunter's own solipsistic craziness cycles every 6 months or so, and Hunter reinvents himself for the 666th time, Covington decided to make the stereotype for the fat, self-serving, amoral hog of a politician, sort of like Lindsey Graham, congruent with Hunter's name. Covington holds Hunter responsible for the antics of hatting Robert Campbell of Hagerswill the past year or so. And true to form, the yelps and squeals of guilt outrage have made Tubby's day. Now, a guilt is a castrated, you know, is a castrated pig. You know what I mean? They castrate the hog they don't want to use for breeding purposes. So it's to tenderize its meat as opposed to making it tough. Going on, I was locked up with real nuts for 2.5 years. I know craziness when I see it because, like I would tell the Packy and Sandinger, an actual nigger psychiatrist who would dope me up illegally during my stay most of the Bushy second and blunt soul administrations, you stupid, silly bastards only see these insane, violent criminals for 15 minutes every 30 or 60 or 90 days, while I have to live with them for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As a result, I know which ones are truly dangerous far better than you idiots do. Covington is not crazy. Rather, Covington has to deal with treasonous family members and movement turds out to run amok anything they get their paws a hold of. Williams is actually a Zog agent provocateur and informant, as is his friend, Trader Glenn Miller. Williams got a lawyer from Zog and a bogus settlement from a crooked judge with the intent of getting Covington removed from his home in North Carolina, which happened. I fail to see why these known traitors and informants are simply not ignored as largely irrelevant. Rather, let me go ahead. Okay, I clicked the wrong thing. Let's see. Rather, if they act as does Morris D's, then they should be thought of as equivalent of Morris D's. Insofar as Hattings' meerkat moanings are concerned, most of them are simply lies. Catcher Lane told me that Bob Matthews gave William Pierce $400,000, by far the most of anyone in the bowel movement. Even Pierce's biographer, Robert Griffin, said in Fame of the Dead Man's Deeds in the Bob Matthews chapter, page 209, that Pierce got a bag full of order money from Bob Matthews, and soon afterwards paid off on his farm $95,000. That's at least $55,000 more than a mere $40,000 that Hatting claims. Besides, what difference does it make? Everyone in the movement knows that Pierce took order money, and so does the FBI, because the movement can't keep its collective and individual mouths shut. Pierce ran a sort of Elohim city for creators. We in Christian Identity knew that the Reverend Dr. Bob Millar was snitching for the FBI, and admitted it to ourselves. Pierce was totally compromised, as is Wiggerswill, Alex Linder, and Trader Glenn Miller. At least we openly admit the obvious, which creators refused to do. Look, Hunter Wallace slash Cunt Hair Wallass slash Fade the Bitcher is not an expert on white nationalism. Rather, Fade is someone who has a lot of daddy's money and lots of time on his hands, who sets up these forums and blogs, gets a bunch of Wigger and Mamzer fellow fucktards to post on these places. Then when Fade is cycling and Cunt Hair's craziness gets the best of him, he disappears to a private asylum, and when the right schedule of medication shows back up, with the latest version of himself. Folks, Fade the Butcher, Hunter Wallace, Cut Here Wallace, he has been locked up. It looks like we had a beaner for a little while. And I'm glad INTJ was there to clear it up. Anyway, old Fade has been locked up in a nut house himself. Now, I don't know if he was individually committed there or voluntarily committed or whatever, but folks, he has admitted that he's been locked up in a nut house, and he wasn't guilty of any criminal offense. And what I believe is his daddy gave him money, sent him up to Washington or Virginia, North Carolina, Virginia, told old Fade to, well, here, you got plenty of money, why don't you stay up there away from home? Now you have a recession and, can't afford to keep old Fade, two or three states away. So essentially they bring him back home to Alabama, and he disappears and he cycles every so often. And most of the time he's not a danger to himself or others. And that's okay. But what he does is that he doesn't stick with anything. He will open up a forum, he will open up a blog, and then he'll shut that forum or blog down, and that's why he's back to his old tricks. And then he'll reinvent himself, occasionally spend a little bit of time in a mental institution, get on the proper medications, and he's back. And here he is, judging Covington, essentially by the only yardstick he knows, which is himself. And that's what, that's what Fade the Butcher does. Now, do I like Fade? I really do like him here. But on the other hand, you got to understand his limitations. And that, that's the purpose of this particular show, The Movement Turd. It pretty well tells my experience with these sort of people. Going on. Hunter Wallace is a good name for a Southern fried Judeo-Zionist, and so Covington uses that name and tries to shoot over the gaseous carcass some jukals like Hatting, who are yapping about the overall unfairness of Tubby. Covington is actually trying to accomplish something as somewhat of a plan. I agree with 85% of the plan, and since I have a better idea, I have better things to do than fight with Covington's groupies, I avoid posting to his forums or blogs. Now, I don't agree with Harold Covington. I don't. I believe that he has a number of romantic notions about how you're going to fight Zog in one little place and Zog's going to turn it loose. I've always wondered, since Zog has nuclear weapons, what prevents Zog from simply nuking, when they lose it? What keeps them from nuking what's left of Portland or Seattle or whatever, Possum Gulch, Idaho? What prevents them from doing that? Answer, I don't know. Nothing. I mean, I've never seen Harold Covington answer that. And second of all, being Christian Identity, I believe that the Zog is worldwide, and Zog itself is going to have to be destroyed altogether, and every Wigger who exists is going to have to be destroyed where they stay. And I believe in fourth generation warfare, and that's not going to be like a colonial war. It is going to be a collapse of empire like what happened to Rome. Folks, what I see in history is a collapse, like what happened in Rome, but this time there's no noble barbarians. There's just ignoble niggers and beaners and gooks and the rest who want to go ahead and pick up. Harold Covington believes in a sort of Irish Civil War, you know, Irish colonial war, to where the accountants will give up the Northwest and let something what's going to attract white people show up when he admits the Jews want to destroy us. And they do. So how's that going to happen? But let me just say is that Covington makes very good novels. I'm pleased that he hasn't run afoul, at least, you know, me or Christian Day, because he doesn't really address it at all. And it's he has by far a better work than Hill of the Ravens. I did not like Hill of the Ravens. Nobody in Christian Day liked it much at all. But he won't notice at all. And Harold Covington has learned quite a bit in the past decade. And I'll give him credit for that. I really will. So, is Harold Covington trying to accomplish something? Answer, I think he is. Is he skin off my ass for him trying to do it? Well, no. I go on. That said, has Jack Ryan come up with the $5,000 advance he promised now that Covington is writing Northwest Republic novel number 5? This guy, who goes by the name Jack Ryan, promised Harold Covington $5,000. If he would write another novel. I was asking this Jack Ryan if he did go ahead and pay Covington the $5,000 advance that he said he promised he would do. Has he? I don't know. Going on. This bomb movement of ours is 95% infiltrated by Zog. The remainder is full of fools and idiots unable to grow up who form the bulk of the onlooking Phoebes who are gazing at the three-winged circus. That's the movement. Let me go ahead and check and see if, let's see if I'm still on TeamSpeak or if I've been kicked off. Nope, still on there. Well, that's what you end up having. You end up having actually far more Irish were killed in the Irish Civil War than were killed when the Irish were fighting the British to kick them out. Folks, one of the best movies I've ever seen is Michael Collins. And I think I'll go ahead and end or start this, segment, with one of the songs from, Michael Collins. I'll go ahead and find it on YouTube. But going on. Now both myself and Harold Covington understand the Zog is finished. As Whiggers are displaced by Beaners and Jews finish off what little is left, Zog, as we know it, is going to become extinct. Harold Covington believes he can get 1,000 people in the Northwest together to fight a colonial war and gain independence for a white homeland. Myself and the underground, dual seedline Christian identity portion of the white nationalist movement believe that a great tribulation is necessary to exterminate through civil war and economic, environmental, and social collapse 160 million Muds and 130 million Whiggers, with the end result of only having 10 million whites left to be ruled by 10,000 warlords when Jesus Christ returns. We are allies because neither of us are really looking for the exact same audience or using the same methods. Covington thinks he is going to get 1,000 righteous whites to fight a colonial war in the Northwest. I know that this won't work any better than when Abraham's nephew Lot was the only halfway righteous Whigger in Sodom. And even then, Lot screwed his daughters, and they gave birth to the worthless bastards Moab and Ammon, who were judged unworthy of joining into a congregation of Israel. Rather, the dual seedline Christian identity plan is to have the Great Tribulation do all the heavy lifting of carrying out the necessary exterminations and pick up the 10,000 warlords who will use DSCI theology as a religious underpinning behind the necessary culling of the Whigger herd that supports Zog. Covington believes he can use National Socialist ideology in order to create islands of order amidst the disorder. Dual Seedline Christian Identity believes in using disorder to exterminate the masses of Whiggers and all the Mamzers and Jews, and having the warlords use DSCI Orthodox religion as the white man's racial hate religion. and has an excuse to do as they please upon defective Uyghur herd animals who are fair game. Covington believes he can find 1,000 alphas to exploit the collapse and chaos. The SCI believes we can find 10,000 amoral warlords who will ape some pretense to religiosity in order to have a free hand morally to exterminate all the Muds, Jews, and most of the Uyghurs and enslave the rest, because these 10,000 warlords will be Lothrop Stoddard's neo-aristocracy, who will pay their way by keeping their loyal herd animal Uyghurs alive. My bet is on chaos, destruction, barbarism, civil war, death, and destruction. All the fruits of a decaying and dead social order. Not on some last-minute notion that somehow, is somehow going to turn shit into steel. And Covington actually believes this sort of thing. But I don't see it happening. I do not see it happening. But going on, yet Harold Covington is actually doing something, and this annoys the little internet Uyghur nationalists no end. So if he makes fools, fun of fools going through the motions and what of it. There is a notion that those who Zog brings in as anonymous infiltrators and agent provocateur Zogbots have some sort of right to be listened to by the idiotic, degenerate, and cowardly Uyghur and Mamzer and other Jew Phoebes infesting the bowel movement, and actually have some sort of respectful hearing. This is why this little bowel movement of ours is so fucked up. Any whiner and Phoebe has not only an audience, but tries to get a majority of the retards to act as if they have a vote and a veto over that which others are actually doing. However, such is impossible, given that nobody listens to Uyghurs, Mamzers, and Jews telling movement effectives that what they do is contrary to their own delusions. Especially when these bowel movement defectives wish to remain anonymous and thus accountable. How are they possibly going to change Covington's behavior when Covington isn't scared of Zog? And folks, since when does Hadding Scott have a veto over Harold Covington? Since when does Cunter Wallace have a veto over Covington? Since when does Brian Real or Liar Joseph Cuts November James or Big Nose Rabbi Finkelshiny and all the Finkel swine, since when do they get to tell me what to do or what to believe? Or you? The answer is that by going ahead and claiming that my side is racist and then taking them off, they've essentially, by practicing U101, have proven that they have no part among us and have no business being among us at all. Anonymous Uyghurs have no veto. They have a belief, and by all means, they can believe whatever the hell they want to do, but they don't get to tell the white man what to do. Going on, Hunter Fade was wanting to run off for 2 weeks after remaking himself. He came back because of wounded vanity, whereas Covington isn't going anywhere. So in the absence of Covington, for he will listen but not answer here, let me state the obvious. Covington is doing something. You fools are not. Covington will not succeed because no mighty evil empire yet has pulled off survival for its defective soft pistol. Yet what makes Tubby a man and you whiners a bunch of bitches is that Covington is willing to try. Hail victory, Pastor Martin Luther Dzinski, Lutheran Church of Jesus Christ, Christian Area Nation, Missouri. And go ahead and use space mirror / Linstead / useful / audio / TMT. And yep, Hadding, he goes ahead and he makes a few little remarks about how Covington is a big liar and all this sort of thing. Well, you know, even Hadding doesn't think Covington is crazy. He just thinks he's a big liar. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, Covington really, well, Covington doesn't always tell the truth. But he tells far more of the truth than Hadding Scott or Uyghur Squill or the rest of these idiots will be. Folks, I don't believe right now in movement, you know, in having open organizations. Don't believe in it at all. Let me go let me go and see what happens to Mr. Kevin Harpham, who believed in playing Nutsy and what he ended up getting for it. Let's see. Let me go ahead and copy this. Oh, come on, you. I'm trying to go ahead. I'm going to go ahead and copy this link. I'm going to go ahead and read it then. But what happened to Mr. Kevin Harpham? What happened to Mr. Kevin Harpham? He's still in jail. He's just like Edgar Steele. He's still in jail. Not going to get out anytime soon. Why? Because Mr. Harpham wanted to play Nutsy on BNNF. Okay. Well, it looks like a few people have left here. Alrighty. Well, it looks like we had a number of people. They got cut off of TeamSpeak. And TeamSpeak is not, you know, TeamSpeak isn't as good as, I'm looking at this here. Okay. Well, maybe old Frank and Wigger had too much beer. Who knows? I'm going to go ahead and read about what happened to Mr. Harpham. And then I'll come to the end. Come to the end. And he'll finish off here in a minute. But this is, you know, this is about the Martin Luther King bomber, so-called bomber. He really didn't bomb. He was just a little tard from VNNF. Zog, you know, the FBI decided to blame for it. And folks, I haven't listened to the latest Harold Covington thing, but MLK parade bomb case suspect pleads not guilty. He was indicted on charges of placing a bomb along planned, and these people no longer even know how to spell planned parade route. Nicholas K. Gerianos, 3/23/2011, 6:55 Eastern Time. Spokane, Washington. A man indicted on charges of placing a bomb along the planned route of the Martin Luther King Day parade in Spokane pleaded not guilty Wednesday in federal court. Kevin Harpham, 36, appeared before U.S. Magistrate Cynthia M. Brogno, who ordered him to remain in the Spokane County Jail. It says without jail. I think they mean without bail. He was indicted by a grand jury on Tuesday on charges of attempted use of a weapon of mass destruction and unauthorized possession of an unregistered explosive device. Well, who is there such thing as having authorized permission of a registered explosive device? You gotta wonder. Why is there different rules for some people than others? Harpham is from Addy, a town north of Spokane, has extensive ties to white supremacist groups. A.K.A. he's a creator and he posted on VNN forum. He has ties to Alex Linder and traitor Glenn Miller. The idiot. All information about the federal investigation led to Harpham's arrest has been sealed. So in short, you don't get to see any of it, folks. They're having little secret evidence. Little secret evidence to where, guess what? He's not allowed to make bond. He's not allowed to show what is against them. Essentially, they get to do whatever the hell they want to. Because it's sealed. I sort of believe that if any case is sealed by a judge, and that judge is shown to be right, wrong, that judge ought to be skinned. No secret court systems other than secret court systems necessary to exterminate Uyghurs and Jews and Mamzers and regime criminals. When the white nationalists end up as a result of the Great Tribulation taking over. There will be no secret courts, no little secret star chambers, no little Zog justice. But going on, the pipe bomb was found the morning of the parade, January 17th, and disabled before it could explode. Hoffman was arrested at his home on March 9th. So he's been, you know, poor goofy bastard's been in jail for, what? 2 weeks and a half? Something like that? Yep, he's been in jail for what? March 9th, this is the morning of the 25th, so 24th. Yeah, he's been in jail for what, 2 weeks? A little bit over 2 weeks. Now, this pipe bomb was found and saved before it could explode. It probably wasn't even set to explode. It was just something the FBI created. They found this retard. Essentially said, arrest me, I don't have an alibi, I don't have any friends, I'm a white supremacist, I'm an idiot, arrest me. Assistant U.S. Attorney Joe Harrington will serve as lead prosecutor in the case. Another regime criminal. Tevin and Harrington squared off in 1997 during Spokane's last major trial involving white supremacists. Three men were convicted of a series of bombings and bank robberies that federal investigators characterized as acts of domestic terrorism. Charles H. Barbee, Vern J. Merrill, and Robert S. Berry, all formerly of Sandpoint, were convicted of the 1996 bombings at a local branch of the U.S. Bank and the Spokane Valley office of the Spokesman Review newspaper. Well, I guess it looks like this public pretender that Edgar Steele's come self loose of, essentially, he's used to losing these cases. In fact, that's what he usually does. Hoffman's father, Cecil of Kettle Falls, recently told reporters that his son was with him when the bomb was discovered and couldn't have planned the device. Well, are they listening to this alibi from Cecil? Hell no. Hoffman served from 1996 to 1999 with the Army's 1st Battalion, 37th Field Artillery Regiment, and was now Joint Base Lewis-McChord near Tacoma, said base spokesman Joseph Pieck. He was not married and more recently appeared to be jobless. So, what they do is that they plant a bomb, they create a bomb, but they already know who they're going to blame for it. They manufacture evidence, and then since it's probably bogus, they go ahead and put it on seal so nobody can go ahead and look at it. Nobody can rally around Mr. Hoffman. He doesn't have any friends. He doesn't have anybody who's going to look for him. All he is a retard who showed up on VNNF. That's all he is. Now, folks, why would you want to, anybody listening to this, why would you want to set yourself up for essentially being somebody who the government rounds up and puts, cuts and stuffs and puts in a jail cell without bond, without nothing other than a lousy public pretender who is used to throwing cases, to be sitting in a cell, looking up at the bunker, on top of you, essentially screwed. Why would you want to do that? To pretend to be a white nationalist? This guy has no idea what he's doing at all. He's just a little retard. Folks, stay away from VNNF. Stay away from a number of these things. You have all sorts of mamsers and wiggers and zogbots and clowns out to trap you. And that's exactly what they will do. So, I think I've pretty well covered what is mainly going on in the movement turd. I'm going to go ahead and take at least a 15-minute break. And when we come back, there's not too many people left in the chat room. It looks like it's 12:30. It's 12:30 right now. And I'll probably have an ending segment, but I'm not sure what I'm going to say on the next segment. So let's take a small break, and I'll be back in about 10, 15 minutes. Hail Victory.
There was some dork named Hal who thought the Fibbies were his pal. So he went ahead and made a deal to sit. But he threatened judges three, a jury slapped old Hal CP. So Hal's gonna be my dick swigger bitch. Zog'll fuck you up. Yeah, Zog'll fuck you up. If you don't obey the dirty Jew's commands, Zog'll fuck you up. Yeah, Zog'll fuck you up. So you best be a rebellin' while you can. Long ago, a rat named Glenn read his comrades over and again. But Zog gave him a bag full of Zog bucks. A little Guido loves diggling fox, pitches, tickles, and cocksucks. The colostomy bag's name is VNM. Zog'll fuck you up. Yeah, Zog'll fuck you up. If you don't obey the dirty juice command, Zog'll fuck you up. Yeah, Zog'll fuck you up. So you best be a rebellin' while you can. I used to know a boss named Visser, a Duke Miss Goober Little Pisser, who was going ass to mouth with Lion Ride. A mum that niggling East Molester, a pisser, pooper, possum, chester. Not a single one of them was very bright. Zog'll fuck you up. Yeah, Zog'll fuck you up. If you don't obey the dirty Jew's command, Zog'll fuck you up. Yeah, Zog'll fuck you up. So you best be a rebellin' while you can.
Okay, folks, we're back for the last segment of the chat. There's not very many people left in chat, so I don't think I'm going to go ahead and do more in about 15 minutes of it. Right now, they're talking about NATO doing the air war, but they're talking about Uncle Zog doing a ground war to get rid of Gaddafi Duck. Because they're whining already that now that they've had an air war, why, they can't leave Libya partitioned between Eastern Libya, Cyrenia, where the rebels are, and Western Libya, where in Tripoli, where Gaddafi is. Why, no, that would lead to some failed states. Why, no, now we need to invade, and put in ground troops, just like Obongo said he wouldn't do. Because we can't have Gaddafi hanging on for about another 5, 10, 15 years. We can't have Al-Qaeda coming in to these failed states. No, we've got to put in more Zog dupes. And folks, once you start an air war, once you start a no-fly zone, once you start shooting down something, you've gotten into a war. And like the Jew, John Stewart said, and I guess he's right here, is that wars are not like having children. Now, I'm going to go ahead and paraphrase it. This little war that Obongo started, it's such a little war right now, but you can't rely. It's not like a nigglet, you know, nigglet stepchild. You can't rely on the other two bigger nigglets to take care of the little nigglet. And you can't rely on the two older, bigger wars to take care of the latest little war that Obongo started. Wars are not like nigglet stepchildren. Once you go ahead and you get another one, well, you can't have the bigger ones take care of it. You've got to take care of it yourself. Essentially, that's what they're doing for Washington or for the District of Corruption. They're saying that Obongo's latest little war is going to require ground troops to invade Libya and possibly fight from door to door to door to door trying to do away with this war, unnecessary war started. Now, folks, I don't see why in the world we have to get involved in wars in any place. Like I point out, if people really wanted to deal with this matter in this country, they could simply open up some cleaner coal. They could go ahead and burn some coal. And then for the carbon dioxide, they could have an algae farm back east. And they could go ahead and make biodiesel out of the algae. They could do that. And around a guaranteed $3 a gallon gas, it would end up paying for itself. And we could build more infrastructure. We could go ahead and fix it. Now, folks, that's not going to work if we allow all these beaners to come in who cannot produce anything, who can only breed and breed and breed as we feed them. So there needs to be a lessening burden upon the Uyghur population. But Uyghurs will not allow themselves to have lesser burdens. Neither will the Jews. There is no solution at all to any of this stuff. Which goes ahead and leads me to talk about poor Uyghurs in California. This relatively prosperous suburb of Los Angeles or wherever in California has had to simply fire half of its public workers, its pubic workers, because guess what? They weren't able to pay for the pensions and all that other stuff that they demanded. So they've just gone ahead and fired them all. Okay? Do you have a link? When do you think the race war will start? I don't know. But you'll know it. I mean, we've already had a race war. We've already had a race war. Now, this link to what happens on there, I'll go ahead and provide it right now. I'll go ahead and provide it on TeamSpeak. Okay, Uyghur problem. Okay, New York Times. Essentially, you have all these, been a lifelong Republican voter, but guess what? They voted me out of a job. Well, guess what? The Republicans are just simply out to benefit the big corporations, the Jew corporations. But they still insist upon paying taxes, but they're not going to be providing services. So guess what? If they're not going to provide the services, why should you or anybody else pay the taxes? See, these corporations, they're like Mexicans. They have to go ahead and live off the white society and the white man as well. They're parasitic as well, just like, you know, corporations. Jew-run corporations, Uyghur-run corporations are parasitic, just like, you know, niggers and Mexicans and the rest. They need to be disposed of as well. Okay? So, anyway, but folks, these Uyghurs are having it rough. They're having it rougher and rougher and rougher and rougher. So folks, what to do? What is any solution? That your solution, to those of you who listen to this movement turd, is stay out of the bowel movement. You don't need to be like Kevin Harpham. You don't need to be in prison, waiting in jail on trumped up charges, because you ran your mouth on VNNF and now they think that you're easy to frame. Because you are easy to frame. You don't need to be like Kevin Harpham. You need to understand that when the time comes, yes, you need to be a hard man. You need to do what needs to be done. But folks, you don't need to make it easier for Zog. You don't need to be in their little database. You don't need to be arrested as a preventive measure by the police. Now, for me, it's too late. Zog knows all about me. What an evil what an evil racist swine I am. Why, I shouldn't be allowed to run for office because I'm a racist. Okay. And just like I say, is that people who want to use that as an excuse to tyrannize over white people, they don't need to live. They have no business being allowed to live in a white country. But then again, Uyghurs have no right to live in a white country. At all. But folks, how do we get from where we want to from here? Well, the answer is just let nature take its course. The Great Tribulation is coming. Some people may believe, looking back, that it's already started. Who knows? But folks, for those who listen to my voice, don't get yourself in trouble. Stay under the radar. Save your own life. Behave yourself. So in any case, I'm going to go ahead and end this episode of the Movement Turd. This was a live show, so I might very well end with the Florian Geyer, or I might come up with another segment. I don't know. I'm not quite sure what to call episode number 60.5. It'll probably come to me. But until then, I'm going to say good night. May Yahweh bless, and hail victory.
The Jews are laid low. On sogling necks we stomp our boots to stamp out gusto. White men go, we vote ho. On the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho. On the court of logs, let red blood flow. The regime must only love his greed. Hi-yi-oh-ho. The love of God our only need. Hi-yi-oh-ho. White men go, we vote ho. On the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho. On the courthouse logs, let red blood flow. We'll conquer for our cause is right. Hi-yi-oh-ho. Our sons won't have to go and fight. Hi-yi-oh-ho. White men go, we vote ho. On the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho. On the courthouse lawns, let red blood flow.